High school and college athletes are not the only performers hurt by the pandemic. In a normal school year, football teams endure summer's heat and humidity to prepare for the new season, while marching bands practice for their halftime shows in the same conditions. There are likely more students each year in band uniforms than there are in football uniforms. In the early 1980s, my wife Anita and I attended every Carbondale High School football game because our three kids, at one time or another, were in the marching band. While the Terriers had good football teams, the highlight for us came when the band, playing their signature on Broadway, came marching onto the field at halftime. A few years later, Anita and I drove to South Bend to attend a Notre Dame football game. We were as proud that day when our daughter Anne marched onto the field as the band played the Notre Dame fight song as those parents watching their sons play football on that hallowed ground. In a normal school year, after football season is over, high school and college athletes practice fast break offenses and zone defenses in gyms while dreaming of playing in the NBA. But they are outnumbered by students practicing lines from Shakespeare's plays.
Romeo! Wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. Or if thou wilt not be but sworn my love, then I'll no longer be a Capulet. 'Tis but thy name that is mine enemy. Thou art thyself, though, not a Montague.
Or the songs from Cole Porter's musicals in auditoriums while dreaming of performing on Broadway.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows, and it ain't God's. Good authors, too, who once knew better words, now only use for letter words, writing prose, and it ain't God's.
One of the proudest moments in SIU sports history came on March 18, 1967, when the basketball Salukis defeated Marquette and won the National Invitational Tournament. One of the proudest moments for Anita and me came 20 years later when our daughter Amy stepped on the stage at Marquette in lead role in Bechdel Brecht's The Good Woman of Szechuan.
I sell water here in the city of Szechuan. It isn't easy. When water is scarce, I have long distances to go in search of it. And when it is plentiful, I have no income. But in our part of the world, there is nothing unusual about poverty.
Our son Steven, after graduating from SIU, headed to Los Angeles to become the next Steven Spielberg. After earning two MFAs, Steven is now teaching history and literature, but he's still writing and hoping. Not too long ago, he had a meeting with Pittsburgh native and diehard Pirates fan Michael Keaton after Keaton's agent expressed an interest in one of Steven's scripts. I'd like to claim credit for our kids' passion and dedication, but my own moments in the performing arts belie any claim to being their muse. In grade school, I reluctantly played a cowardly Jack Horner, who said he'd protect the fair Miss Muffet until he saw the spider and ran screaming from the stage. Years later, I made the mistake of agreeing to stand in for one of my English department colleagues who had a minor role in an SIU production of Guys and Dolls and couldn't make one of his performances. When the directors discovered that I couldn't dance, he assigned me to the back row of the chorus in the musical's finale so the audience couldn't see my feet. When he heard me sing, he suggested that I mouth the words. In grade school, I did have a high tenor voice and was selected by Miss Lamb, my music teacher, to sing a solo at a holiday program at one of Pittsburgh's radio stations. My reaction, despite my mother's threats, was to fake an illness and stay home until my voice changed, which it did years later, but for the worse. Unlike her reluctant husband, Anita has always been fascinated by the performing arts, and once during World War II, danced on a bar for cheering sailors. She was 2 years old at the time and was hoisted onto the bar by her father, who was serving in the Navy and thought his adorable daughter was going to be the next Shirley Temple. Anita never sang and danced her way to Hollywood, but she's lived vicariously through her kids and directing plays in her teaching days at Unity Point. She's even picked out a name for herself had she gone on the stage. An admirer of Judy Garland and Michael Bublé, she decided that she would have become the famous Judy Bublé. This is Pete Peterson for WSIU Radio.